Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel.
Seek the truth, avoid the evil, learn Yahweh's ways. Torah life ministries, come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan.
Let us learn Yahweh's ways.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the show today. I'm so excited to be able to bring you this message. And today I want to talk about a topic that you might not necessarily hear about in your church, because most churches are not teaching what I'm teaching. And you have a decision to make. I'm telling you, I'm teaching according to the scripture. And if you hear anything on today's program that you believe is not correct, please look it up in your Bible. And if you find me to be incorrect, I give you my contact information at the end of the show. But if you find what I'm telling you to be correct, and you have an issue with your church because they're not telling you the correct thing, then you have a decision. Who do you want to live by? What the Bible says, what our Creator says, or what your church says, if it's not the same thing? And we have to make that choice. And I am telling you, and the reason I have this program is to let believers know, to let Christians know, most churches, especially mega churches, are not teaching what the Bible says and how we are to live. And this creates an obvious problem, because there are many consequences for living in sin, and most churches are teaching people to live in sin. Now, before you turn off the radio or shut off the internet or whatever you're watching this, hear me out and look it up in your scriptures to confirm this. We have to realize that what sin is, are we sinning, and what are the consequences for our sin? Is there forgiveness for sin, or will sin lead us into eternity without spending it with our Creator? I'm here to tell you folks today, Torah Life Ministries, my website, Torah Life Ministries, is not a Jewish word or a Jewish thing. It's a believer's thing. If you accept Yeshua as Messiah, you are part of Israel, and you are responsible for keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. You cannot have something solid without a solid foundation. And the Torah, the first five books of the Bible starting in Genesis, is the foundation for all scripture. It's what Yeshua taught, it's what Paul taught, and it makes up everything. But today we have something going on in the church today called replacement theology, where the church has tried to replace Israel. The church has tried to replace the original covenant of our Creator, which was never done away with. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, they are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. That is our Creator's plan for you. The church's plan today is, forget about what the Bible says and follow our ways and see what happens. Well, folks, I could tell you this for sure, that our Creator is smarter than we are, and His plan is better than ours. That's why it says clearly in the scriptures, do not lean on your own understanding. Let His will direct your paths. And that's what we need to do. Well, let's see what His will is. Well, you want to call the Torah His will, His guidelines and instructions, the Torah, or even the law. It's still what He gave us to follow and live by. And they're not done away with, and they're not replaced. Well, let's look at it here. It's, you know, because what it comes down to, folks, is sin. Are we living in sin, or are we living in righteousness? And many of us automatically would think we're living righteous, because it says in the scriptures there's a way before man that seems right, but ends in death. We all want to think we're living a righteous life, but when we measure it up to scripture, what is the real answer? And we don't want to rely on our church pastors to tell us this, because many of them are not teaching scripture. And you say, why do you keep saying that? Well, if you line up scripture to what most churches are teaching, especially the mega churches, it is not only not what they're teaching, it goes opposite to what they're teaching. They, in fact, I submit to you, are telling people to live in sin. Well, you say, that's crazy. And I say, well, do you know what sin is? And when we find out what sin is, then we realize that there should be no excuse for sin, which many churches try to hand people down so they can get bigger crowds and bigger audiences, so they can make more money to support their lifestyles that go against scripture. There's no excuse for sin, folks. That's what we have to understand. Many try to make excuses, but we have to stop that. Okay, so I'm talking about sin. So what is sin? What is sin? Well, it's defined very clearly in Scripture, 1 John 3:4. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone practicing sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is the breaking of the instructions of our Creator, or breaking of the Torah, or as Christians might know, breaking of the law of our Creator. Now, there's the laws of man and the laws of our Creator. And when Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, came here, he had a big issue with the laws of man. The Pharisees and the sages, they went up against him because they were trying to take what our Creator gave us, the law, the guidelines, and instructions, the Torah of Yahweh, our Creator, and they tried to add to it, and they tried to take away from it. But the Bible says, do not add or take away, but keep my guidelines and instructions. Open up your Bibles and underline and highlight it, but keep my guidelines and instructions. That's what it says in the scriptures. Well, 1 John 3:4 says, everyone practicing sin also practices lawlessness. And he that sin is breaking of the Torah. So practicing, now that's another word we have to look at, practicing. Folks, practice makes perfect. We're all sinners. I'm a sinner just like you. The only difference is I repent and I hate sinning. I don't make an excuse to keep doing it and living that way. And I don't enjoy it. But it says everyone practice in sin. Practice is to do something over and over and over again. You're practicing to become better at it, to become perfect at it. No, we shall not practice living against the words of our Creator. Righteousness is to practice living with the words of our Creator. Now, if you do that and you make a mistake or you mess up, that's where mercy and grace comes in. It's when you practice to live righteous, when you practice to live according to His guidelines and instructions, and you have His mercy and grace upon you when you're not able to hit that mark. But if you continue to make a practice of living against His guidelines and instructions, which what sin is, well, then you have another issue. There are serious consequences for both. But the Bible says very clearly, if you are making a practice of living against our guidelines and instructions of our Creator, living in sin, it says you are a worker of iniquity. And in Psalms 5:5, it says our Creator hates all, not some, but all workers of iniquity. That's what it says here. And it goes on, the whole plan of Scripture, the whole idea is, if you repent, He will forgive you. If you repent, if you repent. Do you know what repent means, folks? That means to turn your ways, to turn from your evil ways, to turn from your sinning, to turn from your ways that go against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's what repent means. And it says, it just doesn't say, I will forgive you. He says, if you repent, I will forgive you. You know, he says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. We need to repent and turn from our ways. When you accept Yeshua, something needs to change. Your heart. You can no longer love the things you once loved in the flesh. And now you have to love what He loves. And if you've said a couple of words and said you accepted Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, but your heart doesn't change and you still love doing the same things you did before and you have no desire to follow our Creator's guidelines and instructions, folks, you are a worker of iniquity if that's the case. And most people in the church, as it says in the scriptures, a person is known by their fruit. Well, we just see what the church is teaching. I'll tell you this, a lot of people in church are obedient to what the pastors are telling them. The problem is the pastors are telling them it's okay to live in sin. So a lot of people in the church are obedient to sin. They're making a practice out of sin. They're workers of iniquity. And I am so blessed to be on this radio show today to be able to tell you this so you could say, you can't say you never heard it, because James 4:17 says to know good and not do it to hit him is a sin. Well, you might not know, but now I'm telling you, so you no longer have that reason, excuse, or lie, because now you're hearing it. And now what you do that is up to you. But we look at the repentance. If we repent, we will be forgiven. But then here's what the serious thing comes down to, folks. It's not only about sinning and making a practice of sinning. The real question comes down to is, who are you sinning against? Who are you sinning against? And we look at this. I want to give you why this is so important. Matthew 12:31. It says, because of this, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to man. But, and by the way, that is with repentance. So it says, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to man, but the blasphemy concerning the Spirit shall not be forgiven to man. You see, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, there's 613 in the Bible, and many people just use 10. They say the 10 commandments, and we'll use as an example today the 10 commandments, but there's more than just 10 commandments. But, you know, many people say, well, they can't possibly keep the 10 commandments. I say the 613. Don't you think 10, that percentage, you can keep at least that? But people don't even know the commandments, let alone keeping them. But Matthew 12:31 specifically says, all sin against man is forgiven, but those that sin and blaspheme our Creator, His Spirit, those will not be forgiven. Will not be forgiven to men. So we look at the scriptures and we look at the commandments themselves. Some of the commandments are given to men against other men. But there are commandments that are given to our Creator and towards our Creator. So the commandments toward man, those shall be forgiven if we repent. But what about the commandments towards our Creator? And we look at the Ten Commandments as an example. And as I said, there's many more. And people said, well, with all the commandments out there, what commandments should we keep or can we keep? You should keep all the ones you can keep. And you can keep all the ones you're able to keep. And the ones you're not able to keep, not because you just don't feel like it, but because they're just not able to do them today. For example, I'm not a farmer. I don't have a farm, so I can't keep the commandments to farmers. I can't keep some of the commandments that tell me to go to the temple and make certain sacrifices because there is no temple. So there's certain commandments that not are done away with, but we just can't do today. However, all the commandments we can do today, we need not make excuses for them, and we must do them. And they're not very, the Bible says, my commandment shall not be burdensome. And I will never give you something that's too heavy for you to carry out. We have the capability, opportunity to do this. And we're not keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to be saved. We're only saved by the blood of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. We're keeping them not to be saved. We should be desiring to keep them because we are saved. He set us free from death row. He died for us so we can have a second chance. And how do we repay Him? Do we continue to live in sin and forget what He's done for us? Or do we say, you know what? You set me free, and I'm going to desire to read Your book and live according to Your guidelines and instructions because You are smarter than me, because You know better than me. And I want a future and a hope. I don't want disaster that my own plan and my own life will give me. I want Your ways, not my ways, is what we have to say. Well, when we look at the commandments and the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, we see people have, no problem or very little problem. Well, many people have issues, but keeping the commandments to one other person because they become the moral standard of today's world. You shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall honor your mother and father. You shall not covet. These things, as we see in the last, six commandments here, commandments to men, yes, there are a lot of people out there that are criminals and evil-minded and demon-possessed that might do these things. But for the most part, most people that call themselves believers or Christians have no problem carrying out and living these commandments. This is a moral guide and code according to the scripture, but even according to the world. Murder, adultery, stealing, lying, coveting, and not honoring your mother and father. These things most Christians have no problem keeping. And they desire to keep these things because of the moral code in it. But the real problem is, as it said in Matthew 12:31, if you're breaking one of these, you can still be forgiven. If your heart is in the right place and you've done something, you know, there's going to be consequences. You still might have to do time in jail. There might even be even more severe consequences. However, our Creator will forgive you if you repent. But it goes on to say in Matthew 12:31, because of this I say to every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to man, but the blasphemy concerning the Spirit shall not be forgiven. What about the sinning against our wonderful Creator? And we look at that and we think about that and think about what the church is teaching. We look at the first commandments of the Ten Commandments, the first four. The first one says, you shall have no other gods before me. And I could tell you this is one commandment on a regular basis that most Christians are breaking because most churches are teaching that it's fine to have other gods on the same level or even before our wonderful Creator. Most people don't realize that, but you have to think, what do you spend your time with? Who are you bowing down to? And what do you submit as the most important thing to your life? And lip service won't do here. Your actions speak because a person is known by their fruit. And when people know the basketball players on a team or the football players on a team or the words of a secular song more than they know the words of Scripture or the characters of Scripture or our Creator's word, you've now made other gods before you. The second commandment says, thou shalt not make for yourself an idol. And that's what we've done. You've heard of American Idol. That's what we've done. We could say every person that won American Idol, but we can't say some certain scriptures we can't quote. We're putting these things before our Creator. We're sinning against Him on a regular basis, and the church teaches that this is just fine. They're not even teaching against these things. It goes in number three, you shall not misuse the name of Yahweh our Creator. Most people don't even use his name unless they're saying hallelujah, which means praise Yahweh, praise our wonderful Creator. But you shall not misuse the name of our Creator. Now, we know there's certainly a lot of people out there that use his name in vain. But you know what? If you're just calling our Creator a title and not by his true name, Yahweh, guess what? You're breaking his commandment right here. You're sinning against our Creator, Yahweh. That's his name. He has a name. It says you shall not misuse it. You know, I don't want you to call me man. I want you to call me by my name. And you wouldn't go to your dentist and call him dentist. You would call him by his name. Well, why don't you call our Creator by his name? You want prayers to be answered? Call him by his name. And then you think about, his son's name, the Messiah's name, Yahshua. Yahshua is his name. Who do you pray to? So you're making idols. You have other gods before him. You're using his name in vain. And you might say, well, not me. You know, I don't have any other gods before my Creator. You might say, I don't make any idols in my life. He's the most important thing. You might say, I use the name. I don't misuse his name. And I use the correct name. I don't take his name in vain. Well, what about the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment says, remember their Sabbath day and keep it holy. How many of you listening to this program right now actually keep the Sabbath holy? How many of you even know what the Sabbath is or when it is? It's from Friday night to Saturday night. And many people say, well, you know, I keep the Sabbath, but I keep it on Sunday. Well, I know a lot of people that go to church on Sunday, but you know what? Here's a newsflash. Keeping the Sabbath doesn't mean going to church. Keeping the Sabbath means being set apart. That's what holy is, being set apart. And especially on that day, from Friday night to Saturday night, to be set apart from the world, because it's the most worldly day where people are going around and doing every single thing that goes against the Bible. That's the day he says, you know what? Be set apart. Be holy. Don't partake in the things of this world on that day. So if you think going to church on a Sunday and then going out to eat and then going to do everything you do throughout the week, or you're saving that day to get all your work done, no, that's a day. The Sabbath should be a day for rest. So not only are you getting the wrong day, many Christians, but you're not even doing it the right way, according to the Bible. Now, we should know how to keep it according to the scriptures, because it says it right there if we read our scriptures. But the church today is teaching people, you don't need to do this stuff. This stuff's done away with. That's Old Testament. Until they tell you that now it's time to tithe. Well, that's Old Testament also. Do you ever question that? Why they tell you to do that, but it's okay to sin against our Creator in every other area? See, we need to start asking questions. We need to start, you know, asking, first of all, what is sin? And we need to compare it up against the scriptures. Not only am I sinning against my fellow man, but am I sinning against my Creator? And we need to repent for that and just pray that he'll show us his mercy and get right with his word and start reading, studying, learning his word, and teaching his word. The church doesn't want you to hear many of these things, and the enemy doesn't want to hear you to hear many of these things. Because he has control of you. This is his world, and people are living and following his ways. But we need to get right with the ways of our Creator. And he's given us his guidelines and instructions of how to do so. You know, our Creator loves those who love him, but he hates those who practice sin. Those who love to live a life practicing sin, which is living against our Creator's guidelines and instructions. You know, somebody might say, are you telling me that our Creator hates workers of iniquity, so our Creator is going to hate me if I don't keep the Sabbath? I am not telling you that, folks. The Bible is saying that. You have a choice to make, and it says in the scriptures, today I give before you life or death. Choose life so you may live. How many people want a chance of life? Now, you might say, I've heard many different radio programs on Christian radio stations and Christian TV, and I've seen many things on YouTube, and I don't hear anyone talking about this, so it can't be right. Well, I'll tell you, in the scripture it says there's a narrow path that leads to a narrow gate, and that narrow gate is Yeshua Messiah. But that narrow path that leads to that gate is what I'm telling you. It's following the instructions of our Creator, making a practice of righteousness, not making a practice of living in sin. But here's the thing, folks. It says only few will find it. Only few will find it. Not everyone, only few. You know, many are called, but only few are chosen. Well, I'll tell you what that says in the Aramaic, folks. It says many are called, but only few choose. Are you going to choose the narrow path of righteousness? Or are you going to choose the way of sin, the way of the world, the easy way out? Because even though it says in the Bible, my commandments are not burdensome, my commandments, you know, they shall keep, you know, it's still going to take some work to do it, and now you have a responsibility to actually do something, to be set apart. when you're standing next to somebody who might be a Christian, and if you don't know, if you've had a conversation with somebody for an hour and you don't even know if they're a believer or not, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And it says a person is known by their fruit in the Bible. Well, what's your fruit? Does a person know ESPN more than they know the Bible? You have to understand how this world is going in its separate ways. And this is why it says when Yeshua comes back, he's going to separate and divide the righteous from the unrighteous. And righteousness is doing what's right in our Creator's eyes. And what's right in our Creator's eyes is living according to his guidelines and instructions. And many people have the right heart. They want to please a wonderful Creator. They don't want to sin against him. And that's what I'm saying to you probably listening to this right now. If you've listened this long, chances are you don't want to sin against our Creator. You want to do what is right. But many of you are deceived because you're not taking the diligence to stay in prayer. You're not taking the diligence to study the word of our Creator. And you just don't know. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the knowledge they're talking about is not the worldly knowledge that we do know. It's the knowledge that we don't know. The knowledge of Torah. The knowledge of the Bible. How many of you know the original covenant? How many of you read the Torah? When is the last time you opened up your book to the book of Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus or Deuteronomy or Numbers? So we need to know and make a practice of knowing his word. So even though your heart is right, your heart might be in the right place, but your deception is leading you in the wrong place, down the wrong path, down the wide road, not the narrow road that leads to that narrow gate and as Yeshua. And that's why it says only few will find it. So even though you might have a great heart, if you're living a life of sin and practicing sin and not repenting for your sin, there's serious consequences, folks. This is why Yeshua said, "Get away from me, I did not know you." It even goes to say in the Bible, those that say they know me but continue to live against me and continue to live a life practicing sin, you are a liar. Many of us are lying and many of us are deceived, but we need to get right with his word and there's still time left is the good news. But the bad news is time is running out and we need to hurry up and we need to do this soon, right now. You shouldn't wait any longer. Go read your scriptures, see for yourself, see what it says. And then when somebody says, well, that's the Old Testament, that's for Jewish people. And I say to you, there's not one single place in the Bible that says it. You've heard that from church or some Christian TV or somewhere, but nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Somebody might say, well, now we have new commandments that replace the old commandments. Show me where it says that in the Bible in a decent translation. It doesn't say that in the scriptures either. What it does say is I've given you my guidelines and instructions, and Yeshua said you need to follow the guidelines and instructions. He went every week teaching in the synagogues, the Torah, to the people. And then Paul went and told people to go and follow the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful Creator. In Timothy, when it says all scripture is profitable for man, guess what? There was no renewed covenant or New Testament, as you call it. He was talking about the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And the renewed covenant is a great testimonial of the Torah, the original covenant, the Old Testament. One does not replace the other. When Jeremiah says, I've given you a new heart, it's to take the commandments off stone and put it on a heart. Not that we would not know it or change it, but that we would know it by heart and live it out by heart. And that's where we have to desire to be. But we study his word so much, we spend so much time in prayer that we are able to discern and know what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live, regardless of what the world tells us or what the world wants or what the church tells us or what the church wants. And we have this great opportunity to do so. So no matter where you are and who you are and no matter where you came from, that doesn't matter. It matters where you're going. And you need to repent today for your living in sin and practicing, making a practice of living in sin. And enjoying the sin and appeasing your flesh when it comes to living in sin. You need to repent all that and get right with our Creator's words and desire to live according to his guidelines and instructions, according to what Scripture tells us we should be doing. If you repent, he will forgive you. And we have this opportunity to do so. And if you take this information and these messages to your local pastor or your the person teaching your congregation, assembly, or church, chances are, based on experience, they're going to tell you some excuse or some reason why you no longer need to follow Scripture or you no longer need to follow the Bible. A great example is the holidays, Christmas and Easter and Valentine's Day and all these other pagan traditions and holidays that do not come from the Bible, that the Bible talks against, that come from the heathens of this world, the churches are partaking in these things. And if you go to your pastor and you say, why do you partake in these things if they're not in the Bible, and the Bible says not to partake in them, and your pastor, if he doesn't kick you out of church and tells you you're no longer welcome there, he's going to have a lot of things to say that go against our Creator's guidelines and instructions. I know it, folks, because I hear people contact me all the time with this. They say, I hear what you've said, I looked it up, and it's correct. What you're saying is true. And I've approached my pastor, and they've told me if I want to stay in the church, I should no longer talk about these things. Well, we need to question these things. Ask yourself, pray, what is sin? Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, thank you for your Son Yeshua dying for me. How does he want us to live? Please show me what sin is, so I will live a life against that. I want to make a life of practicing righteousness, not living in sin and enjoying it, not living in sin at all. Folks, my question to you, or my homework to you, is open up your Bibles and read Psalms 119. Read Psalms 119. And the instructions they talk about in Psalms 119 is the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Those are the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And according to the replacement theology church today, you will have to completely throw out Psalms 119 and also about 80% of the Bible if you desire to think that you no longer need to follow these guidelines and instructions, because that's how much the Bible is talking about these things, even more. You'd even have to throw out the words of our wonderful Creator that says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How are you going to argue with that one, folks? If you love me, keep my commandments. Some people might say, well, there's new commandments. Read your scriptures, folks. And stop being deceived. There's no new commandments. He's talking about the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. All scripture is profitable for man, and that was the original covenant they were talking about, because there was no New Testament during the time of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Go bring that one to your pastor. And when they start saying, well, the commandments are dumbed down to two commandments, love your Creator with all your heart and love your neighbor like you love yourself. Well, I'll tell you again, if you love your Creator more than that, with all your heart, you wouldn't be desiring to sin against him. You wouldn't make a practice. You would be disgusted by it. Disgusted by sin on every level. So if you want to dummy it down to two commandments, which we shouldn't do, well, at least keep those two great commandments, which you're not doing when you break the Sabbath, take his name in vain, have other idols, and have gods before him. Folks, thank you for listening today, and I just pray for you that you would get this right and look it up. Thank you, and have a great day, and Yahweh bless you.
You've been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you'd like to learn more, please visit www.TorahLifeMinistries.org. Or you can contact Torah Life Ministries by phone at 561-283-1707. That's 561-283-1707. Learn of Yahweh's ways. Torah Life Ministries, come out of the world.